KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez 99.3.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Magazine. Stay tuned and focused in that voice of life ministered to you by our pastor, Altonio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Mark, Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 4. Amen. Thank God for listening, people. Amen. If we're listening, we should be adhering to, amen, what we heard. Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 4. We're going to parade and peruse the periphery of verse 35 through verse 41. Amen. And when you have that, you're looking at the Gospel according to St. Mark. St. Mark, chapter 4, verse 35. I want you to say with me, I have the word, and I'm ready to receive it. In the same day, when the even was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? And how is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Amen. 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 Praise his name. I usually like to preach from this setting, from Luke, because of the things that Luke say. But Mark set in my spirit, and it's going to be a little bit different look for me. Amen. But today I want to use for the topic, title, tag, or thought to this message, Master, do you care? Master, do you care? The Gospel according to St. Mark was written by him, but it is the Apostle Peter's account of what happened while he walked with Jesus for those 3.5 years. It was Mark, or John Mark, was believed that he got the story from Peter, because Peter, at the beginning, they held church at John Mark's mother's house. It was this house where they prayed for Peter while in jail. And the miraculous thing that happened for him was that the chains fell off his arms, the doors were open to the jail, and not only the jail, but the courtyard gate. The gates were open to him, and that's before Walmart had automatic doors. Open automatically for him, not having to touch anything. All he had to do was follow and obey. That ought to tell us something, that sometimes the enemy will try and bind us up while we work to do the Lord's will. But guess what? God said, if you follow and obey, I'll open up and continue to let you be free from the bondage of the enemy. They got to that house. Peter got to that house, knocked on the door. They couldn't believe what they saw. They thought that it was a ghost. God worked a miracle in his life. And so you'll find John Mark, being a writer, he gave a lot of details. He used a lot of words because he wanted to convince those that were Roman citizens that Jesus was who he said he was. He avoided talking about the law because it didn't matter to those who were Roman and Gentile. It didn't matter. The law didn't matter. So he tried to get them to remember who Jesus was by writing all these miracles and all these things that he had done. Now, up until this point, we find that Jesus, Mark doesn't give us genealogies and stuff like that. He gets straight to the point. He gets straight to the point because sometimes all of the fluff that we sometimes bring up in our daily life trying to tell somebody about the Lord, all of the fluff don't matter. Let's get straight to the point. What's the point? Jesus. What's the point? Salvation. What's the point? The power of God. Amen. The word of God. The power of God unto salvation. And so Mark gets to the point, and in this particular chapter we find out that he had just taught the multitudes and he had put in a great day's work. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever had to go and work an altar and pray for a lot of people and teach and preach, but let me tell you, it takes quite a bit out of you after a while. It does take, it feels like you work a full 12-hour day once you finish, because you pour out of yourself something that God put in you to sustain you. You begin to pour all of it out in order to do his work. And so it says that Jesus, they took him. Let's go ahead and look at this. It says, and when even was passed, he said, let's go to the other side. He was ready to take a break. He needed it. And this goes to show us the human side of Jesus. Remember, we say that Jesus was fully God and fully man. He was theanthropos. That means that he was God, God enough that he could walk on water, but he was also man enough that he could get tired and he needed sleep, right? He was God enough that he could take two fish and five barley loaves and feed 5,000. But remember, he was also man enough that when he walked to Lazarus' grave, he wept. Amen. So he was the anthropos. He was God and man. So he needed a break. He needed to rest. And so the scripture goes on to let us see here that in verse number 36, that when they sent the multitude away, they took him even as he was into the ship. He was tired. They didn't prepare. They didn't tell the family, I'm gone and I'll be back later. They didn't turn around to go and get an extra change of clothes. But just as he was, they hurried him off. Couldn't even say bye. And got him in the ship because they saw that he needed a break from the people. And so he started to go to the other side. But look. And he went by ship, because if he would have walked somewhere or went to a house, they would have came to the house. That's how bad they wanted to be in his presence. And now, today, we hardly even care about the presence of God to where we would take and give a sacrifice to go wherever he is, do the things that he wants us to do. Now he went on the ship, but then there were other people who paid other folks. Look at this. Paid them to use their ship to follow him. Isn't that something? How when they found out that he wasn't going to walk the trail, that he was going by sea, they said, hey, let's put our money together because we need to be where he is. I don't know about you, but I wish I could get around some people like that. That said that no matter what and no matter where he goes, where he leads me, I'll follow. Where he goes, I want to be there. Whatever he does, I want to be in the number where he's doing it. He says that the other little ships that followed him, right? These other little ships. Now, when we talk about this, I want you to keep in mind that the ship represents the church. You know, just like the church. We get together in order to get to a place, from one place to the next, we have to do what they did in the ship, and that is for us to row together. The word fellowship, it comes from the meaning of men in a boat that has paddles, and they're rowing together the same direction, and nobody is overworking themselves because we all work together. Amen. And they are going in the same direction and making progress. So we fellowship with one another, and we come to church and we come to fellowship. But I want to ask the question, are you working? Are you doing your part? Or are we putting the load on someone else? Because it seems like they're good at it. So he says,
in verse 36, it says that there were other little ships with him, verse 37, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship that it was now full. Now, here it is. Now, we have to understand what happened. Arose means something suddenly, something unexpected, something that came without warning. Now, when we have things in our life, and we need to understand that the reason Mark wrote this is to show us that generation to generation, he wants us to know that no matter what arises in our life suddenly, it's not too much for God to handle. That God can still deliver us, God can still keep us and bless us. Now, what we got to understand is that the storm arose. Some of us don't want it to rise. Some of us think that we ain't going to ever go through nothing. But God is telling us that we are going to go through some things, but when we go through it, we don't go through by ourselves. Y'all still with me here? And so it says that you know, that the storm arose, and the thing to keep in mind is that the people that were in the boat with him, that they were seasoned on the water. When you watch, if you ever watch, what's that movie, the Perfect Storm, I believe it is, it talks about how that seafaring men that are fishermen, that like these disciples were, that they wait until there's a storm and the storm becomes perfect. And when it's a perfect storm, it puts the fish in a place to where they can catch loads of them. They can catch so much fish in that time, and they go out, they would rather go out in the storm. So fishermen were used to storms. But it was something about this storm that made the disciples decide that, hey, this is more than we can handle. And sometimes in life, things come up that are more than we can handle. Somebody say amen. They're more than we can handle. We can't do anything about it because it came from a place that we had no idea that it was coming from. You know, sometimes we have troubles, we have trials. We have things that we fear, things that go on in our life, that we find out that these things cause us to have some turbulence, and we begin to fear the worst. We begin to fear what's going to happen. And the reason we fear is because we can't see what's going to happen tomorrow. But I don't need to see what's going to happen tomorrow. I just need to know the person who's going to give me tomorrow, because I believe that he's the author and the finisher of my faith. I wish I had somebody here. And since he's the author and finisher of my faith, he will make sure that my tomorrow and whatever I need for tomorrow, the things that tomorrow need that I need for tomorrow, that he'll put them in place for me. Now, trials and tribulation sometimes causes us to fear. And fear is the opposite of faith. So you can't have faith and fear together. But you need to have faith, because it kicks fear, evicts fear. It evicts it. Don't let it live there. It dispels it. It kicks it out. And so since faith kicks out fear, you got to have faith. And that's why I keep talking to you about it. Because sometimes we don't, you know, and the thing about fear makes us act out, not spiritual, but it makes us act out fleshly and emotional. Y'all still with me here? And since fear makes us act out fleshly and emotional, each one of us have a different way that we react when we're in fear. Some of us have the, what they call it, the fight or flight. You know, we either fight or we gonna run. And that's the people that always want to run and move, that's the people that flight. But the people who always got their fist up wanting to fight about something because they fear the most of losing. Instead of that, I'm not fearing losing because I know I'm a winner. I don't fear losing because I know I'm more than a conqueror. And so I ain't got to fight with you all the time. But we fight with people because we think we're going to lose something. We think we're going to lose whatever it is. If whatever your reputation, you think you're going to lose, well, you know what? God built it. And he can build it again. Come on and say amen. So we don't have to fight with people about what they say, what they do. Come on and say amen. But trials come and we become fearful. And a lot of times when we become fearful, we don't operate in faith, we start operating in the flesh. And when we start operating in the flesh, we start thinking of fleshly ways, and we can figure this out, how we can handle it, how we can do it, what we're going to, how, you know. And then when people don't help us, our flesh get mad. All right, okay. But do you know that some people can't help you because God sent the storm your way? Because he wants to show you to trust in him and not in them. Look at this. All right. So it says arose suddenly. Somebody say suddenly. a great storm. Now, the thing about the storm is that on the Sea of Galilee, or the Sea of Gennesaret, is what they call it in Israel. I've been there, and when you get in the sea, you can't see anything but mountains all around. You can't see over the mountains. I mean, it's right in the middle of mountains. And so if a storm was coming, they might not have saw that there were some clouds rolling in. They might not have saw it, but all of a sudden, it says it was a great, the word great in the Greek is mega, which means a megas, which means that it was big. This storm was bigger than any other storm. This storm was greater. It was so great. Look at this. The storm, the word storm, and a storm of wind. The word wind, you know, there's a word in the Greek that means wind, and it's pneuma, or breath, but that's not the same word. This word here, wind, is anemos, which means winds from the earth, or it also means a agitated wind, a stream of air, very strong tempest. And it means that this is not something that came in burst and gust, but it was something that came and continued to turn them and twirl them around and push them around, and it began to toss them side to side. And so this wind was so out of control that it began to blow waves up and it beat upon the ship. Now, I want to show you something here. The word beat means to put on your mind. What it means is that when the wind came and the storm came, they couldn't think about nothing else but the storm that they were in. Lord have mercy. All I'm trying to tell you is that sometimes when we go through our trials and our storms, we can't think about nothing else. We wake up in the morning thinking about it. We go to bed at night thinking about it. We're at work, can't even focus because we're thinking about it. When we pray, that's what come up in our prayer. And all we do is ask the Lord to help us in our storm. Y'all looking at me funny. We ask the Lord, and then when we see somebody, all we talk about is the storm. Because it beat us. It made us think about it over and over. And if it's somebody in the storm that seems like this, you know, if somebody bringing the pain with the storm, if somebody don't help us, then we thinking about them too. We're going to get them. Oh, my God, going to bless you. You know how we do. We don't really mean blessing. We mean he going to give. We try to sick God on them. God ain't a pit bull. He's God. And you can't sick God on nobody. If he gonna get somebody, he gonna get you. Amen. Somebody phone going on? Okay. So he says that this is the waves beat into the ship. So much that that's all they could think about. Now, he says the waves beat into the ship so that it was now what? Remember, I said the ship can represent us as a church. Not just this church, but the universal church, right? And so if the waves beat into the ship that it was now full, that means now when we have trials and we go through storms, that means this. That means that sometimes we allow this stuff to get us in us so much that we can't do nothing else. They did all they can do. They tried to dip the water out. They couldn't do it. They couldn't do for themselves. And so it beat until it was now what? Full. And some of us, we're full of trouble. We're full of trials. We're full of fear, full of tribulation. And look, we can't afford to let this stuff be in us. Now, we may go through it, but don't let it go through you. Amen. We may be in something, but don't let it be in you. Don't let these trials be so in you that you can't praise God, that you can't pray to God, that you can't worship, and that you can't give God what his just due is. Don't let it be in you to where you're so broken and you feel like you can't be repaired, because God can fix anything that's been broken. Y'all still with me here? And so we got to understand that when he said that the ship was now full, and I don't know what it is, what are you full of? What are you for? Are you full of the mess and the stress and all the stuff that you've been going through? You know, when you know how we always say hurt people, you know why? Because they're full of hurt, so they give back the hurt that they're full of. Y'all don't hear me? You know, people who are messy, so they've been in mess so much that it's all in them, so they're full of what? And what are you full of? That's the question of the day. Are you full of something that you shouldn't be full of? Well, come here and let me give you some prunes, some fruit. Let me give you some love so that it'll get that mess out of you. Y'all don't hear me. Give you a spiritual laxative. Mess out of you. Anybody tired of mess? I'm tired of mess. I'm so tired of it that I want to take a bat to it and just knock it out the park. Amen. Say, was now what? Full. Y'all ain't reading. So that it was now full. Verse 38. Look at this. He said, and he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Here we go. It's not going to be a long message today like it usually is, all right? So he says that, Mark says that Jesus was in the stern part of the ship, and this ship is not very big, probably a ship that carries maybe about 15 people. But Jesus was laying down because he was tired from the day. Now, the thing I like about this example of Jesus sleeping while the storm was going on is that Jesus knew who he was, and he knew why he came. So he knew that the storm couldn't take him out. Now, if we are supposed to be children of God just as he is, if we know who we are, and if we know why we're here, even though the storm come, we know that the storm can't do anything with us. Yeah, maybe the storm did come to kill him, but the storm couldn't, because that wasn't the will of God. The storm may try to kill you, but that's not how you're going to die, because God has the last say. You may go through something that seems like it's going to take you out, but it's not going to take you out. It's just a storm that all God has to do is speak to the storm. I wish I had somebody in the house. Oh, yeah, he said that he was asleep in the hinder part of the ship up on a pillow, and they woke him up, and they say, Master, do you not care that we perish? Now, some of us, that translates like this. Master, do you care that we die? And some of us, we're going through our trial, we're going through our tribulation, we're going through our situation, and we're saying, Lord, it seemed like he ain't nowhere around. Lord, do you even care that I'm going through this? Do you even care that I got myself into this mess? I know you are deliverable where you're at. Do you even care that I'm here and I need you to pull me out of this mess, but I don't think you're hearing me? That's what we're saying sometimes. Lord, do you even care? I was on the other side with you. You said that we got to pass over. I know you said it, but I'm going through something right now. And see, that's what the storm will do. Even though Jesus told them that we're going to get to the other side, the storm made them forget what he said. And sometimes when we go through our trials and we go through our tribulation, we forget what God has already said. He's already told you that no weapon formed against you will prosper, but yet you're crying about it. I wish I had somebody. He's already told us that when the enemy comes in like a flood, that the Spirit of God will lift up a standard, but we're still crying. And come on and say amen. And said, do you care about me, Lord? He's already told us that we're more than conquerors because he loves us, but we'll still cry and say, Lord, do you care about me? And God has said, if I didn't care, I wouldn't have let you go through this storm, because you're going to prove to people who thought you wasn't going to make it. You're going to prove to people who gave up on you. You're going to show them that I still live, that I live on the inside. And you're going to show them that no weapon formed will prosper. You're going to show them that everything that I said about you will be done, and what they said don't even matter. You're going to show them that when they write you off, God will wipe you off and put you back in line for a blessing. Do I have anybody in the house? Hallelujah. Master, do you care? Some of us are asking God, where are you? God, do you care? You see I'm going through. You knew I was going to go through this. But why didn't you provide a way for me to escape? God said, I am the way. You got to get in me. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, yeah, if you understand what Romans 8 is talking about when he said, whom he foreknew, he did predestinate to be conformed into the image of his son. How do you conform something? By pressing it. And so I'm pressed in the image of his son. By going through my trials, I start to look like Jesus a little bit more. Oh, yeah, I thought I had it going on 20 years ago. I could fast and pray for days and 21-day fast. I can do all of that. I thought I had it going on. Now I've realized that that wasn't it. It was when they lied on me and I was able to take it and not say nothing back. Come on and say amen. It was when the enemy came in to try to destroy me. When you get sick, come on and say amen. When they attack your finances and you ain't got much and you still hold your peace and say, I know the Lord will make a way. Yes, he will. Then you become more like Christ because you ain't saying a mumbling word. You're like sheep to the slaughter. That's what Jesus did. I wish I had somebody in here. Some of us just talk way too much. While we going through the trial, we complained way too much. Oh yeah, we talked too much. You know, Jesus, the Bible said that Jesus was that he didn't explain himself to nobody. He went to the cross, he was quiet, and we always sing that song that he never said a mumbling word. And you know why? Because he said all of us are like sheep that are going to the slaughter. When you slaughter a sheep, the sheep don't say nothing, he just cried. He don't say a word, he cried. Big tears. I was talking to Pastor Jim the other day about this, and you know, he's a butcher, and he said he'll never kill another sheep. He said when the Iranians came, he said, I told them, don't bring me no more, because he said, I couldn't take the fact that the sheep never said a word, and he had big tears running out of his eyes. He said, before I even touched him, he said, when I was sharpening the knife, he started crying. Imagine that. Now, he was quiet because he knew it was his time. But he cried. Now Jesus didn't say a word. So he was like a sheep. He was the lamb that was slain. Y'all with me here? The lamb that was slain for us. Now a goat is different. I see it. I was around when a goat got, I was around, you know, helped to kill a goat before. And the goat hollered. He cried like he screamed like a baby. I'm telling you, he cried for, he hollered. And you got to go ahead and cut him down so he shut up. So I want to ask the question, are you a goat? I'm letting you think about this. Or a sheep? Will you keep your mouth shut when you go through your trial and say, I know the Lord's going to make a way? Or will you open your mouth and complain and cry every time you go through? You know, the Bible tells us that tribulation is going to come. He tells us trials are going to come. And we worried about the people that bring it. He said, woe unto the one that bring it. That means he going to take care of that. And he tells us that all this stuff that we go through, that this stuff is appointed to us. Tribulation, work, patience, experience, and experience hope. And we have a hope that maketh us not ashamed. What is he saying? He's telling us God will not disappoint us. Yeah, I've been through, but I ain't disappointed. Yeah, I had some hard time, but I still ain't disappointed. That's why I'm still here with my hands lifted. That's why you can't beat me praising God. I wish I had somebody in here. That's why you can't beat me forgiving and loving and doing the will of God. Some of us, we ain't never, we talk about forgiveness, but we phony and fake.